Welcome back to the Wedgeworth Leadership Podcast. My name is Marissa Crowhurst, graduate student assistant with the University of Florida and the Wedgeworth Leadership Institute. And I am excited to be joined with three of our Class 12 members for this episode, Dan Kimball, Nina Kraus, and Sandy MacArthur. With so much to unpack from each seminar, we are extending our reflections through this podcast to share our experiences with everyone, whether you're in the field or on the road. In this episode, we will be reflecting on Seminar 3, which took place in Miami, Florida, and the surrounding communities. If each of you would like to briefly introduce yourselves and share your involvement in ag and natural resources.
Hey, good morning. I'm Dan Kimball. I am a co-owner of Harpland Irrigation, based out of Arcadia, Florida. We do agriculture irrigation, land development, and we are also sod farmers as well.
Hey guys, this is Nina Krause. I've worked in agriculture for 25 years and currently work for Nuveen Natural Capital, where I acquire and manage ag properties in the Southeast U.S. And I live in Palm Beach County. So I was excited to have the opportunity to explore this with the class.
Good morning. I'm Sandy MacArthur. I work for NG Wade Investment Company, which is a 110-year-old family office that has a long history in agriculture in the Southeast. Presently, we're partnered and invested in a variety of agricultural operations in Florida and up in Illinois. And I'm excited to be part of the Wedgeworth program.
I'll let our Class 12 members begin with sharing their reflections and takeaways from our third seminar. Dan, would you like to go first?
Sure, I would love to. I'll tell you, one of the coolest things I think I saw, you know, being a sod farmer as well, I'm like, I love soils and soil types and stuff like that. So like the muck soils down the glades was incredible. Just seeing that, feeling it. I mean, it felt like I just went to Home Depot and opened up a bag of topsoil, potting soil, and was like, and there were just fields of it. It was unbelievable. And all I could think of the whole time is like, man, you know what kind of sod I could grow on this stuff? So it was pretty cool, man, seeing all the lettuce and the cane and everything that they were doing, some of the row crops and stuff they were doing on that soil and what they could produce and how fast they could produce stuff. The quality, is no wonder. It's such coveted soil. I mean, there's not any available. Nobody's selling it. It was pretty cool. So that was one of the neatest things I think I saw down there.
I love that you say that. And it is exciting to go to the Everglades and see the EIA and living in Palm Beach County. I spent a lot of time there and I'm like you, every time I drive by and you just see the black soil, it's just remarkable. And to see, you know, hundreds of thousands of acres and all of the different kinds of crops, it's a really special place. And one of the things that we never really talked about, but the Belglade, their saying is her soil is her fortune. And it's so true. You know, on Monday afternoon, we were able to go to TKM Bengard and we toured their packing facility. And I mean, it was just remarkable, like how much lettuce there was in the facility. You know, they talked about 60 truckloads of lettuce every day, especially during their peak season. They plant 7,000 acres in the EAA. They don't do any second cuts. I mean, it was really remarkable to see the processing aspect of that. But then on the second day, we were able to go out into the field and see the actual harvest. And so we saw iceberg and romaine harvest. And I mean, it just moves so fast. But it's really remarkable how fast the crops grow and how fast they're harvested. One thing that really stood out to me was that we went into these fields for lettuce and radishes and different crops. And I even though I live here and I spent a lot of time here, I did not really comprehend like the food safety aspect of this. So as we're going out into the field, an open field out in nature, we're putting on hair masks and beard, the guys are putting on beard masks. And so the food safety aspect it's taken very, very seriously by all of these growers. But for me, it really stood out as to, how serious it's taken and what's really required.
I agree completely. I've seen a number of soils and considered soils across the state and figure out what's the best use for them. And those muck soils are very impressive. And the safety procedures and operations were top notch. I come from a bit of a software development computer background in previous career, get really interested in the technology and the management of things. And when we toured Florida Crystals, I was blown away just the rigor and extensive data that they analyze and process in developing sugarcane and managing their fleet. It was very impressive. It reminded me a little bit of some of the things I remember from a previous session, but the data management was very impressive, and I really appreciated getting a tour of seeing how they manage things. And tell us later in the Glades, we got the tour Telus, which is a company converting bagasse sugarcane fiber into plateware, biodegradable plateware, and getting a behind the scenes tour of their manufacturing process. Kind of reminded me of one of my favorite shows, How It's Made, which is one of my favorite things to just put on the TV and zone out to. And it's an impressive product that's doing good, will do good for the earth with more market penetration.
Yeah, those are all great. Like, I think the Glades was a lot of fun, and got to see a lot of stuff. That was cool. But in Miami, let's go to Miami. So when we were there, I thought the Gloria and Sherry did a wonderful presentation on the Federal Reserve, and then we got to actually do a tour of all the cash. And all I could think of, you saw those buses, right? And all I could think of was Ocean's 11, when the little circus guy jumps out of that little bus, right? When all the cash is around there. And every time I saw one of those buses, I would be like, those clear, the clear glass square ones, cubes. But it was super cool. The
one of our guides mentioned that they keep the crews a small, like I think 4 or 5. And I immediately thought, like, yes, that's preventing Ocean's 11 situation.
Yeah. Yeah. But there was so much, you couldn't get away with anything. There was 20 cameras on us at all times, like for sure. But, really cool. I thought it was super interesting that, each one of those buses hold 400,000 bills, right? So you put that in perspective, that's 400,000 $1 bills. That's also 40 million $100 bills, right? And each one of those, which was, we looked into that room, the big warehouse, and there was billions of dollars just stacked in there. And they wouldn't tell us how much was there, but I thought that was cool. And, they literally, like, if you write on a bill or any, like, the super notes or anything like that, they come across, like, they're destroying, like, $50 million worth of stuff, a day in there, which I thought was pretty cool.
Another thing about the Federal Reserve in Miami that I didn't expect is they mentioned that a lot of their customers are international banking systems. That's not something I had thought much about. I mean, in my travels to the country Panama and Central America, I knew they were dollar based, and so I knew that was a thing, but I didn't realize, I believe they said it was 80%+ of
80%.
Yeah. The money that flows through there originates from out of the country. I appreciate what they're doing. Well, this isn't specifically agriculture, but how it affects the United States' influence and relationships and trust globally, which is important as agriculture is increasingly global.
Yeah, it was pretty wild though, man. It's a neat trip and really interesting to get in there and look at what really is going on at one location, right? So they have several locations all over the United States, but they obviously don't print money there, but you know, they're going through it, they're categorizing it, they're looking at all the serial numbers, and I don't know, pretty wild. It was a pretty interesting deal to me, so.
Yeah, it was interesting to me to see, like, there were a lot of manual processes. There are literally people, like, moving money from one place to another, but then there was, like, such advanced technology that literally, like, they're counting the money, and as they're counting the money, they're reporting the serial numbers, and then as money is taken out of circulation, those serial numbers are sent to...
I guess a database, right?
Treasury. No, the Department of Treasury. And then at the end of the year, they don't even replace, they're shredding more than $400 million a week. They don't even replace that money until the end of the year. That's how much money they have in there. So that really stood out to me. The other thing, like, this is the second time, guys, that we have said, like, oh, it smells like money. The last time we were in a much different processing facility going to True Leave. But when we walked in and you saw the vault, and you absolutely could smell money, and it was amazing.
Very much so.
Yeah. One of the things that I really enjoyed, so, you know, we went to the Federal Reserve, we went to Homeland Security, and it was a really long day. We had all traveled from Belgrade, and we had gotten up at 6 a.m. to do that. And we've had lunch and we've done all these things. And then we pull up to GEMS, and, you know, from the moment we arrived in the parking lot, Lucy is there. Lucy is this little car. It's Lucy is there is GEMS motto. And we all laughed and smiled. And Lucy Abel, who's in our class, like, we were like, Lucy, it's Lucy. And it was a lot of fun. But honestly, from the moment we walked in there, we felt so welcomed. What an amazing operation. Really, like, it was interesting, really, on two fronts, to learn about, like, the flower market and to understand, like, that business. And I mean, 90% of the cut flowers that come into the U.S. come through the Port of Miami, but also they're grown in other countries, Ecuador and Colombia. And that was really interesting. So we met when we walked into GEMS, you know, they had a full spread of food out for us. Cuban coffee, empanadas, like the works. And I mean, it was just like, it was like a big hug, because I think we were all starving. We immediately laughed and smiled.
Very much so. That was at the end of a long day. And I remember seeing on the wall somewhere that GEMS is giving everyone more smiles. And I was appreciative both of them doing that for us and Christy and the crew scheduling that for the towards the end of a long day to put some smiles on our faces.
It was pretty cool to see a work atmosphere like that. Like, it was just a positive, everybody was super positive, the work atmosphere. And I feel like if you have happy employees, and you probably a lot more successful that way too. So very interesting, and really, really enjoyed that place. And they did a fabulous job hosting us.
Yeah. Carlos talked a lot about, like, the flower business and how his business evolved, you know, as flowers usually in the past were sold in flower shops. And now, like, you've completely transitioned. You walk into Walmart, Target, any retail store. Now, you know, that's the main way that people in the U.S. buy flowers, how his business evolved, supporting those kinds of businesses. And so, yeah, I mean, just really uplifting the work environment. Everyone was smiling, welcoming us. But, like, as soon as you walk in the door, like, here on the wall is their values, you know, and they said, like, we believe in people, we want results, we believe in flexibility, we're going to be humble. We're going to do what's right. They're going to have fun, which they have a lot of fun in that office. They're going to get better, and they're going to be grateful. And Carlos said a lot of things, you know, that really kind of struck me. You know, he said it's not about selling, it's about serving. And that really, we're all in ag, you're in such a relationship oriented business. That is absolutely kind of the epitome of, I think, what most of us do in agriculture. He said businesses should do good. And then he said, like, when you choose to work with someone, like, make that choice, and then you go in all in from there. Give it your best and treat people right. And I just, you know, we toured the office, we toured the facility. And I mean, it was really kind of the highlight for me, not of the entire week, but definitely it was a pick me up, and it was so educational, and it was really fun to see kind of leadership and culture married with like the passion of the flower industry, especially because we had been talking about leadership practices already. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, everybody got a bouquet to take home. So that was cool. That was really sweet of them to do that.
Yeah. And they're great quality flowers. I took them home, and just yesterday, even though they'd spent a couple of days out of the water, they've recovered well, and they look great in our kitchen.
It was kind of neat to see, you know, we had gone to the Port of Miami and seen the passenger side, it being the biggest cruise port in the U.S., and then also seeing the cargo side. And I mean, 1.1 million containers a year. It's like, it's hard to wrap your brain around that, and like the size of the cranes. And I mean, it was a remarkable tour. But then, you know, we got to GEMS and we started touring, you know, started putting that together, seeing GEMS and the flowers coming into the country, and then going to the Port of Miami and actually seeing how that took place.
A lot of the port's actual inspection of agricultural products was at APHIS, which we got to tour. APHIS is the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, and they have a very impressive operation. I think they inspect 2% of all product coming in, and maybe more if their data indicates that the origin of what's being imported has a high risk factor, either because of previous inspections or other world events that they're aware of. But the APHIS facility was impressive to me, partly back to my technology background. They have an impressive catalog of species for identification, and we got to tour that, and that was very neat. It's unfortunate this is a podcast, otherwise we could show pictures. I'm sure they'll make it online elsewhere. But they do a thorough job, and getting to see their operation and understand what it does makes me appreciate how they protect the agriculture in the United States, which is great, because that's part of how we support ourselves. It's part of national security. Agriculture is the keystone of society, and they're the front line of defense, and I appreciate getting to see their operation.
Yeah, it's pretty cool seeing like some of the stuff they showed us, some of the bugs and stuff that they're looking for and different things like that. So pretty good, very interesting. Not something that I even considered happening all the time, but really neat. You guys want to talk about the Lotus House? That was pretty cool, huh? That was very interesting to see. And what I thought was interesting was like, you know, they even had some volunteers coming from other places. Obviously, we went and volunteered. Some people helped cook and do meal prep. Some people helped clean and do other things.
I really enjoyed the experience, you know, as you know, the largest homeless shelter in the U.S., you know, they help domestic, abused and homeless women with children. It was really impressive. They provide job training. They do educational opportunities. They have childcare there, free childcare from the age of 0 to 3. They have a salon where they can help people, you know, look good. And then, you know, they have a clothing available and they help people learn like interview skills and things like that. And if that wasn't enough, they've partnered with some people and they have like a culinary and a hospitality center. And so people can go through these programs and then hotel chains and other restaurants will come and it gives these women an opportunity to go find meaningful work and employment. And so it was really impressive. Our tour guide, Elizabeth, she was great. She lived there for a time being and she's, you know, been able to work her way out of that. And I thought it was a touching story, but also, you know, just to see the services that they offer. It's a really large facility. We ate lunch there and it was fun being served by some of our classmates. It was a really good experience. I hope that other Wedgeworth classes, you know, have the opportunity to do that. And even as a team, like we reflected on it and we took our penalty money and we made a donation and we really, that meant a lot to us.
Yeah, I think we all appreciated doing that. And it's great. It was a great use of funds. And I think it was pretty much every single person thought, hey, that would be a great thing to do. Cause I think it touched everybody in a specific way. So for sure, a great deal.
Yeah.
They definitely impressed me with their ability to pivot to deliver the support to the community there. I know when we were preparing meals, whatever donation was expected for that meal didn't arrive on time. So they had us doing something completely different. They're doing great work and the people that are there clearly are committed to overcome whatever challenges they come up against.
So also alumni dinners, that was awesome. I really enjoyed going to Keith and Amanda Wedgeworth's house. Also Francisco and Emma Pines. And it's great to see how the interaction with some of the Wedgeworth alumni are. And, you know, just bringing you in and just being super friendly. And I mean, I've met Keith several times through different ag events and stuff like that, but we were able to talk a little bit. I mean, he even connected to me and wished me happy birthday the other day, which was, I thought was really nice of him to go out of his way. So just shows that, you know, these people care and they want you to learn and they want you guys to succeed and they're pushing the success on that they've got, you know. So I thought that was really great. And it was amazing for all these people to come join us, whether they were riding on a bus or, you know, they were inviting us into their home or whatever it was. I thought it was really thoughtful of everyone.
100%.
I enjoyed it as well. And it really, I already feel so fortunate to be in this program, but then to see the commitment of the alumni, and I mean, they really kind of wrap, you know, their arms around us, and whether it's, you know, coordinating a tour, working with Christy or just driving an hour to come to dinner with us. It's really remarkable. And it's a great, you know, one of the things we talked about in our leadership, you know, seminar was modeling, you know, modeling the way. And it was not lost on me. Like, they are modeling the way. And, you know, I definitely, like, looking forward, will be there for future classes, because it means more, I think, than alumni even know. But very much appreciated. And it was great to go into, you know, their homes, and they just welcomed us with open arms. And it was a nice, really laid back experience, a way to connect with people in a different way.
What an incredible week we had. Yes, visiting a lot of the alumni and getting to spend time with them at their homes and other visiting alumni was such an incredible experience, and we're obviously so appreciative that they had us. And what a great week. We got to see a lot of great farms and production facilities. We got some new experiences and we got a lot of drive time in. But as we wrap up this podcast, I'd like to see if you guys had any final takeaways you'd like to share with our listeners.
I realize that I do not want to live in Miami at all. It is such a busy place, but no, it was great. I thought it was well put together, and I thought we were able to see a lot of stuff, and obviously, Christy and everybody did a great job putting it together as always. Tried to, you know, shove 10 pounds of stuff in a 5-pound bag, which was great. You know, kept us on our toes.
A big takeaway for me. So early in the session, the topic of advocating for agriculture came up. And I think at one point they encouraged us to, we had a workshop where we posted social media promoting agriculture and somehow. But that really became a meaningful, concrete concept for me when Nyla Pipes spoke with us about water quality in the Everglades area. She has so much passion, and she's an impressive individual. And I realized that a lot of the detractors of agriculture have a high degree of passion, even if I find their positions to be unfounded. And a lot of people in agriculture are thinking continuously about their challenges and problems and working through them, that we have a less passionate perspective. And sometimes the relative volume of those passions can make advocating for agriculture not carry as far. And we need to, or I at least need to, put more effort in being louder in projecting my values and beliefs in agriculture.
Yeah, for me, looking at all the operations we saw, farming, Federal Reserve, and otherwise, and all the people that we met along the way, when we were talking about leadership and modeling the way and sharing a vision and encouraging the heart, it's like, out of all of the five different leadership practices, like, you really could see that being demonstrated by virtually all the people that we came in contact with. And so for me, like Brian shared a quote, and he said, leaders live by choice, not by accident. And I think really that speaks to me. And it's just so obvious, like, what a blessing this experience is to work with such great people and great leaders.
Completely agree.
Absolutely. Well, thank you everyone for tuning in, and a special thank you to Dan, Nina, and Sandy for reflecting today and sharing their experiences from Seminar 3. Up next, we are heading to Southwest Florida. Tune in to our next podcast to hear Class 12 Reflections from Seminar 4.